So we talked about, you know, refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? Refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. A was bitterness grieves God. And so, Brother Bob, can we bring that down just a bit here? It's ringing for us. And then B is, I didn't give you that one yet, did I? Here it is. We're getting right into that. Sinful speech grieves God. Can somebody read Ephesians 4:31 for us, please? Do y'all have that on your... Go ahead.
Let all clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Okay. The first three sins relate primarily to how we feel. These last three relate to, and that was bitterness, wrath, and anger. That's what we talked about last week. It's really kind of how we feel. But these last three relate primarily to what we say. Primarily to what we say. So, clamor means to a great outcry, to utter loud noises repeatedly, right? This clamor to cry out loud and to utter loud noises repeated. I told you, right? Y'all are like, the pastor's freaking out here. What's going on? I'm trying to just imitate it without, you know, as this kind of, when you get there, you know the emotional stuff's already took over you. Right? The feeling stuff has already taken over you. So here you are now on this other side. So, evil speaking then is talking about slander. Speech that injures another's good name. We're saying, you know, I'm going to talk about John, and I'm going to tell you, yeah, he says these things, he never does it, and, you know, and he has this thing, and this thing, I'm slandering him. And by the way, slander isn't always true, and it's not always false. That's not even the point. We think, well, it's only gossip if it's a lie. No, gossip is still gossip even if it's true. It's just not what we need to be doing. So it's this slander is, I'm intentionally telling you something to injure his name so that you will do what with him? Be mad at him, distrust him, not believe him. So instead you'll be on my side, right? So if I slander him, this is why slander is a great political tool, right? You slander another. I mean, most of politics is that, isn't it? This one's no good, and this one's no good. Well, what good are you? Well, that's not the point yet. Let's talk about how bad he is. And then, well, what have you done? Well, nothing really, but he's done worse, right? And I'll slander. So that's the second one, slander. Malice is really just means this, all that is sinful. It's really the word malice. It's just full of sinfulness. So I want you to notice the process that's being exposed here in Ephesians 4:31. The issue begins in the heart as bitterness, and it fans the flames of our emotions, right? And so thus, wrath and anger begin to spill out of us. This is what happens. We get this bitterness, and then wrath and anger begin to kind of spill out of us. And as bitterness continues to boil in us, you don't know what I'm talking about. When I say bitterness boiling in you, so if you're trying to boil, so and I've told this story before. When my wife first started cooking, and first got married, she said one day, I'm going to make this meal. I'm like, all right, you know, it wasn't just TV dinners. She said, I'm going to make you a meal. I'm glad she made me TV dinners. What's that? Well, before that. We're talking about even before that. She would make TV dinners. I'm like, hey, at least I got home and there was, you know. I mean, she waited till I got home and then I had to help her with that. But, so we got that. And then, so she made this meal. She said, I made this supper. And so, anyways, at the beginning time, she came in one day and said, what did you do with my water? You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? Your water is set. I was boiling water, now it's all gone. What did you do with it? I'm like, well, you know, it does boil out and it's nothing. It's like, no, it doesn't. You know, and so that's where my life started. Now she can boil water fine. And a lot more. So the, so you've been boiling water, and so when you turn the heat off, if it's boiling, I didn't want it boiling that long, you want it to calm down, you turn the heat off, or you take it off the heat, and it'll go down pretty quick, right? Is that correct? Bitterness doesn't quite work like that, though, does it? Once it starts boiling, you don't just say, and you're boiling, your anger and your wrath is boiling, you don't just say, hey, just move off the heat. Here, come on over here, let's talk. No, because now it's stirred it's in us now. It's just boiling. It can take somebody a while to, you know, and somebody will say something like this, just don't even talk to me right now, right? Don't even talk. They know they're boiling. Don't you wish we could have a knob that we could just turn that down? Okay, let me say it this way. Don't you wish other people had a knob? You could turn when they're boiling, you could just grab that knob and like, let me just turn you off. Let me slide you. Because it doesn't work the same way as with that heat, because it's in us now and it's going. And that's what bitterness, it begins this boiling inside of us. And how is that bitterness when it's boiling inside of us? How do we know that's boiling inside of somebody? What's that? Yes, that water does. But what about people? When how do we know bitterness is boiling in somebody? Comes out of their mouth. That's it. It comes out right here. And so it is exposed through our speech. And this is clamor and evil speaking. The absolute best and only way to remedy this, okay, isn't a knob. I wish there was a knob, but there is a knob. It's not a physical knob, but it's a spiritual knob. The only way to remedy this is to root out the bitterness through what? Forgiveness. Right, which is through the Lord, yes, but specifically through this lesson, forgiveness. It's the only way to root out, the only way to not let bitterness turn into evil speaking is forgiveness. Okay, it's the only way. Listen, God wants the bitterness to be put away from us. Okay, what does he say there again? Verse 31, let all clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. In other words, with all the other evil stuff. What comes out of our mouth is equal with all other wickedness. Y'all see that? Yeah, but I didn't do anything. I just said something. That's not really what the Lord says, is it? It is just as important what comes out of our mouth as what we do. So, an unknown author wisely stated this. So who has said that? I don't know. Unforgiveness. You've heard this said many times. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping others will die. It's not the way poison works, though, is it? I'm going to hurt them and it doesn't work that way. So bitterness changes people. I've kind of talked about this through this series a little bit, through bitterness changes people. This poisonous hatred leads to fierce rage, which is wrath, and blowing up with violent emotion, which is anger. Right? This is what it does. It changes people. Sam Ewing, this fella, said this: it's wise to remember that anger is just one letter short of danger. Anger is one letter short of danger. And I don't know if it's this way, but just it's something to think about is when we get that anger, we're right on the edge of getting ourselves in danger. So a lot of times, the people who hurt us, have deep hurts in their own lives, right? I've said this many times. Hurt people, hurt people. We must learn to put... I'm going to tell you, this is probably the thing that's helped me the most, not hate people. Like, so you need something to not help not hate people? I do. People are mean. People are hurtful. Like, not to you, Pastor, no, especially. I mean, you get to places and and I've learned that, thankfully, God taught me this very early in my ministry, and I can remember sitting with a group of people, and they're all at church and trying to deal with this situation, and they were full of this. I won't call it vinegar because it sounds a little less, but it's sinful, wicked, vile, anger, and malice, and these kind of things, and this evil speaking, and got to the place where in there with the pastor, and got to the place they started cussing in church. When you're cussing in church, bitterness is boiling, right? And I remember sitting there that day, and this isn't me. It wasn't me, because God had done something in my heart to change me. I sat there thinking, these people are really mad. They're really mad. This is weird, because everything they were saying wasn't things that should really make somebody that mad. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people get really mad over stuff that's really small. Really small. And why are you so mad? You know, and you want to ask them that. Why are you so mad about this? And too late by then. They're boiling. You see the bubble. The steam's coming out their ears, right? It's going. And so here's the thing. We have to remember this. When we will put ourselves in their shoes and look at them as we would want them to look at us. So in other words, hurt people hurt people. So when people are hurting you, remember they're probably somebody that's been hurt. Probably something they're hurting. Something's going on in their life. You're like, well, that's no excuse. I didn't say it was an excuse. Right? Do we excuse sin? Well, I mean, but some people, it's not their fault, right? Wrong answer. Before anybody says, yeah, that's right. No, if we sin, it's our fault. And if just because someone hurt you doesn't give you a right to hurt someone else. Amen? Y'all with me? Amen. Thank you. Okay, just because someone hurt you doesn't give you, by the way, just because you hurt somebody doesn't give them a right to hurt somebody else. But when somebody does hurt you, we need to remember if they're boiling over because something's happened to them. And I've been there. We've all been there. So we see that something's going on. And you ever don't need to answer this, but I'm just saying, I'm just saying it rhetorically in this way. You ever had some kind of thing where you were the one that burst it out, right? You're the one that burst it out. And later on, when the temperature came down and you're embarrassed for how you spoke, and you're going to come and see that person again, right? And you're just like pale. Just so... Actually, I don't even ever want to be your friend again because I don't want to have to face you again. So I'd rather just, can we just pretend we don't know each other? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And that person comes up and says something like, it's okay. I understand. Something's going on in your life. And you're just, no, please, it's okay. I forgive you. I understand. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? When they almost just like, hey, I got the eraser. I'm just going to erase the chalk. Okay, let's just, we're okay. You know what that's called? Grace. Forgiveness. Grace. It's, you know what? I understand So doesn't mean it's okay, folks. When somebody says it's fine, it's not fine. But what they're saying is God's given me the grace to forgive you. So when that does, so here's what I'm saying then. So when someone does it to you, get into their shoes for a minute and say, you know, something's going on with them. I'm telling you, it's helped me tremendously through my life. When somebody does something mean to me, hurtful, says things, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's helped me tremendously for me to say something's happened with them. Right? And I don't mean like, oh, they've had this great trauma in their life. Maybe right now. Maybe just on the way, something happened. Something. And so before I just get all offended, let me just understand something. Doesn't make it okay, but it'll help us to get in their sense. Listen, an old saying is this. Be kind to everyone, for everyone is you meet is fighting a battle. I don't know, it's just an old saying. How true this is, though, in some respects. So we do not know the burdens people are carrying. You do not know. If everyone here, which I don't know that it'd be productive, honestly, I don't know it'd always be productive, but if everyone here could share the deepest pain in their life right now, and we go around like this, you know what I mean? We'd kind of be into this like, oh, wow. I didn't. Matter of fact, I'd probably be like that if I heard that from each of you. Right? There's things that I don't know if it'd be completely productive. Man, I thought these folks are a lot better off than that. You know, we're all just like, wow, we're all kind of something's going on. And that's just, you don't know what people are carrying. But watch this. You're extending kindness and just letting go of what feels to you like an offense from them could make a difference in their life. Right? That person that had this burden on them, this what they're carrying, and they come to somebody and they blow up and they're like, oh man, I can't believe I did that again, and I hate myself, you know, and just so embarrassed by what you did and how you, and somebody comes up and you see them again, maybe you work with them. Man, it's the worst when it's somebody at work. And then you're not sleeping. You're thinking, how do I go back to work? I got to quit my job. You know what I mean? Y'all never been, is it just me? All right. Okay. Well, let me tell you about me. And you're just like, you don't, I don't, probably my things, y'all be like, well, that's not that big a deal. Maybe not to you, but to me. Right? And then you go, and that person comes up, and almost act like it never happened. And they're like, and just like, I don't know how you do that, but I'm glad you did. Right? What difference it made me. I think I'm going to keep working here. Right? And I'm going to tell you, you know what it does? It makes a friend out of somebody that you just hurt. What a difference it makes in our lives. And to where it'd say, wow, this burden I'm carrying, maybe if they could deal with what I did, probably what I did to them isn't as bad as what somebody did to me, then I'm, right? The kind of thing, what a difference. But even if it doesn't make a difference that you can see, it's still right to pass to them the kindness that you've been given of the Lord. Which takes us to B. We serve a forgiving Savior. We serve a forgiving Savior. Can somebody read Ephesians 4:32 for us, please? Oh, wait. Oh, man, I jumped. Did I jump? What didn't you get? Did I skip all that? Okay. I did skip a whole page. Sorry, my bad. Number four. That happens. I got thinking about all my hurts. Let me say this before I get to that. I did. I just It happens. It's so important not to grieve. I didn't finish. I jumped. Sorry. Let me finish this last thought. Not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We need His ministry in us. But if we are to not grieve Him, we must forgive people. Okay. We must refuse to hold on to any hurts. Refuse to hold on. So Roman numeral 4. Reflect the Savior's forgiveness. So God doesn't just tell us what not to do. He gives us the perfect remedy for bitterness. And that's choosing to forgive. Okay, that's the remedy for bitterness. We usually think the perfect remedy is choosing to what? Get even. You did that to me? I'm going to do that to you. Matter of fact, we'll give that counsel to somebody else too, won't we? We're good at that counsel to give to other people. They did that. I'll tell you what to do. Well, just do the same thing to them. They're not going to help you. Well, don't help them. Right? Well, they gave you a bad deal. You give them a bad deal. Right? Fight fire with fire. That sounds pretty godly, doesn't it? But in our minds, the way to deal with being treated poorly is treat somebody poorly. You know what I'm going to give them? I'm going to give them a taste of their what? Wow, we know that one pretty good, don't we? We know that one. No, I'm just going to help them. I'm going to help them see what it's like. Because that sounds kind of godly, kind of, doesn't it? Yeah, how does that feel, right? I want to just show them how it feels when they do that to other people. So I'm just going to be, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go ahead and be the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go ahead and help God with this lesson they need to learn. I'm going to just show them what it looks like. You know, isn't that funny that we think we could do something evil and hurtful, and it's going to be helpful? Isn't that weird how we think like that? But we do think like that, don't we? Watch, I'm going to do the same thing to them. They took my seat this week, I'm going to take their seat. Let them see how that feels. Right? Man, you know, aren't we weird? Because it never works, and yet we keep trying to do it. Anyhow, God reminds us of the forgiveness He extended to us. Our having a forgiving spirit is to be a reflection of God's forgiveness towards us. So, A, we serve a kind Savior. Sometimes we forget the kindness of God. Okay? Sometimes we just forget the kindness of God. Yet, He shows it to us every day. And so, what we end up doing... Okay, God shows kindness to us every day, even when we don't notice it. Even when we don't notice it, and we don't... what did y'all say? Deserve it. Yes, that's true. But even when we don't think about it and realize it and acknowledge it. I hate it when people don't acknowledge when you did something for them. You know what I mean? You do something for somebody and they're like, thanks. Or nothing. Just like, yeah, you should have helped. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just make you happy? Right? And you know what's really hard is when you do something kind for somebody and they just like take it with expectation. And you're like, well, that's the last time I'm doing anything like that for them. Right? Because that's how we really fix it. I'm going to show them. Man, our thinking is just weird. But God is kind to us even when we don't realize it's God the one being kind to us. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah. God calls us to extend His kindness to others. That's what He's really... Okay, Ephesians 4:32. We ready for that one? Somebody have that one?
And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted.
Tenderhearted. So kind really is this, having tenderness or goodness of nature. It really means it's this to be benevolent. It's really kind of the idea. And then tenderhearted means having strong inward compassion. It means to be sympathetic. And this gets us to that place of where I was. And so putting ourselves in their shoes. See, man, you're like, okay, now we patched the hole. So that tenderheartedness is that thing that says being kind. And it's like, you know what, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be benevolent to them. I'm going to give them something maybe they didn't give me and that doesn't come back to me. And I'm going to get this concept of being sympathetic. And it'll help us how we see other people is going to help us to treat them the way God treats us. Because we don't deserve it. And they don't deserve it, but we can extend His kindness. Okay, B, we serve a forgiving Savior. Man, back on track. Okay, again, now read that part of verse 32, someone.
Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Right, so forgiving means to give grace and to pardon. It's really what it means. To forgive somebody, it's I pardon you. I pardon you for the crime you've done against me. If a judge or a king or somebody pardons you, you know what that means? It means that crime is no longer on your account. Right? That's a great thing. It is really this, though. Forgiving is, it is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Well, let's focus on that for a minute. Right? So you do something to me. You hurt me by your words, by your actions, by whatever. That's usually it. Your words or your actions. You've hurt me. So me forgiving you is saying, I am going to surrender. I'm going to forfeit. I'm going to give up my right to hurt you back for that hurt. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't, I'm sorry. Or no, forgiveness, I forgive. They come and say, I forgive you. But whatever after that. Forgiveness is really this, you know, I'm going to pardon you. I pardon you. You know, maybe we should start doing this. I pardon you. but it's really this kind of this concept that says, I'm going to give up my right. I'm going to give up my right to hurt you back for that. And I'm going to treat it as if it didn't happen. How can we do that? Can we just forget it? No. Cannot forget it. So how can I be hurt and then just let them off the hook? How can I do that?
Remember who we serve.
Right? Remember who we serve. How can, what's going to enable me to pardon somebody?
Grace.
I don't have grace of myself. God gives us the grace to be able to do that. It's not because they deserve it any more than I deserved it. It's this kind of thing that's this thing. That's what forgiveness is. It's to give grace. It's to give grace. So when we have been deeply hurt, we think, I just can't forgive them. Maybe some of y'all are saying that this morning. Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what they've done. And I've talked to young ladies. I've talked to other ladies that have been molested. And said, you know, I can't, by their own family members. They said, Pastor, I can't just forgive them. This one does this and they do it over and over. I can't forgive them. And you know what we're minded to say right there? I understand. I don't think I'd be able to forgive them either. Because we're both of the same flesh. And I understand that. I understand when somebody hurts you bad and has cut you to the core of who you are, that you can't hardly live normal parts of your life without some of that stuff coming back and getting in back in your head, right? Affects your life. So you want me to just let them off the hook now? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm not saying I want you to do that, right? I'm not saying I want you to do that. I'm saying that's what God says. So, or, here's the alternative. I think it's better that I just keep being angry at them. I think it's better. I think it's going to help me. I don't think I could let that go. I think it's going to be better for me if I just keep being angry. Well, that's dumb, isn't it? But isn't that exactly what we do? I can't forgive them. I cannot forgive them. I'll never be able to forgive them. They just don't deserve it, right? This is our thinking. It's just, give me some more poison, right? Man, it's hard though, isn't it? Ephesians 4:32 draws us back to Calvary. When Jesus forgave us for our sins and paid our penalty, did we deserve it? Not even a little bit. For the Lord, it was an act of grace, right? It's interesting that as Jesus hung on the cross, some of his last words he spoke were words of forgiveness. Could somebody read for us Luke 23:34 there? I don't know. I don't think I'd like people nailing me to the cross. I just don't think I'd like that. I wouldn't like the people that actually drove the nails. What's wrong with you people? That hurts. I wouldn't like the people that gave me over to the people that nailed me to the cross. You know what else? I wouldn't like the people that didn't stand up for me, my friends, when the people gave me over to the people that nailed me to the cross. I didn't like any of them. I'd be mad at all of them. You know, I'd be sitting looking. You know what I mean? My face. You wouldn't wonder what I was thinking. And you'd be the same way. You know, Pastor, what's wrong with you? You'd be the same way. You'd be sitting up there. Just don't let me get down from here. You know, I'm already, yeah. I mean, Jesus, all the energy was pulled out. No, let me get down from here. Yeah, right. What you going to do? Fall? Yeah. But isn't it funny how anger will hold on when we got nothing left? People will anger themselves into a deep depression and pass out. Isn't that something? Isn't it weird how our emotions takes over and controls our physical body and all the things? It's interesting. So, Ephesians 4:32 tells us we are to forgive even as God did. Okay. In other words, the same way that God forgave us for Jesus' sake, we ought to forgive others. So when we look at it that way, there is not one person that we can say, I cannot forgive you. Not a one. Not a one. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, whenever I see myself before God and realize something of what my blessed Lord has done for me at Calvary, I am ready to forgive anybody anything. I cannot withhold it. I do not even want to withhold it. So when we really look at the Lord and consider what He has done for us already, it makes our insults minor. When others wrong us, God calls us to forgive and to show them kindness. Somebody read Romans 12:21.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
This is it. Really. This is the end of it. That really is the end of it, right? This is the end of forgiveness. Folks, what we have to do is we have to change our thinking. We have to change our thinking. And here's the thinking. It's not, well, you know, if somebody wrongs me, I've got to let them know how tough I am. They can't treat me like that. Folks, this is, a lot of people use this gruff as a as a way to protect themselves. We knew this lady. Her name was Kate. She was about 105 soaking wet. You know what I mean? She was just this scrawny little woman. Man, she was probably the meanest woman in the whole town. Maybe the whole county. And people knew her, and whew, you didn't want to cross Kate. And what is she going to do to you? I don't know, but you just don't want to cross Kate. She would just roar, and I don't know if she clawed, but you thought there was claws behind that roar. You know, just, and anyway, her husband came. Her husband was dying of lung cancer. And so we went to visit him in the hospital, and he had lost one lung, and they had to remove half of the other lung. So he had one quarter of his lungs left, right? And anyway, visit him in the hospital. Didn't know if he was going to make it. Well, he made it, got out, and came to church and got saved. And Kate wasn't so happy about it. She wasn't, you know, whatever, you know, she didn't trust anybody, you know, and so went to go visit them, and Jack and Kate went to visit them and sat down at the table with them, and, you know, God gives you grace to handle what's in front of you. I don't know that if I didn't see Kate in the streets, I'd walked up and started talking to her. I'd probably be like the story of the Good Samaritan. I'd probably been like those others that went on the other side of the street. You know what I mean? It's just that kind of. And something there is sitting in me. She just, everything I said, she just hated, you know, just opposed everything. And week after week, I'd go back. And one week, I said, Kate, what's wrong with you? Somebody must have hurt you. She kept going, and I said, listen, let me just talk for a minute. You've been hurt pretty bad, and I see what you're putting this on. You try to cover yourself. And I just kind of went, I'm like, you're like, why'd you do that? I don't know. Sometimes we just let the Spirit of God give us, fill our mouth, and hope we can get out of there, right? And all of a sudden, Kate just, tears pouring down, heartbroken. You know, the truth of the matter was, she'd been hurt a lot in her life. All that stuff was just to protect her. And she just hurt. Hurt people. And she never got over it. She went to her grave angry and bitter and hated everybody, and probably everybody hated her. Sad. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We've got to change our thinking, folks. If there's any of that remnant in us, and there is, okay, get rid of that. Our culture tells us that forgiveness is an option, right? And that it's usually a bad option. Because if I forgive them, they're going to do what? They're going to do it again. Satan tempts us to respond to hurts in anger and to hold on to grudges. That's what the devil tells us to do. But the result of this type of living is bitterness and unrest in our hearts. Folks, here's the thing about that. When I hold on to it, yeah, I'm hurting them. True. I'm hurting them with something. But you know what happens? I live with that. I live with that unrest. I live with that. And I continually drinking a little bit of poison every day. I'm keeping it. And sometimes here's what will happen. And y'all know what I'm talking about when I say this. Sometimes you'll be so angry for so long, you don't even remember what you're angry about. You're just angry. Just bitter. If somebody will come up and say, what's wrong? And I ain't nothing wrong. You know, they don't even know anymore. You don't even know anymore. And when I say the they, sometimes the they is the we. Don't even know what you're angry about anymore. You've been angry so long, you've been holding on to it. It's no longer about something you're angry about. It's become who you are now. Holding on to that. Angry, bitter people are also what you call lonely people. They got no real friends. They got surface friends. No. They got people that, you know, want to be their friend enough that they don't bark at them. Or, you know, somebody says something about Kate, like, I ain't talking about Kate. No, I think she's all right. Yeah, I don't want her at me. You know what I'm saying? So we get this, we named Katie after her. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So Katie doesn't ever likes to be called Kate because of that lady. And she was a little girl. She was a little girl at that time. Listen, God tells us that forgiveness is not an option. It's a command. See, forgiveness isn't an option. I guess I could forgive. No. It's not I guess I could forgive. That's the command. Forgive one another. Right? Then in Luke 23:34, then Jesus says, Father, forgive them. And so we see back there in Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. This is what we're supposed to do. So he tells us that he gives us the grace to release our anger and even reflect his grace to the people who have wronged us. I don't like being hurt. I don't like people saying mean things to me. Are y'all like that? I don't like people saying mean things to me. You like that too, Jeff? Yeah. I don't like people saying mean things to me. I don't like practical jokes. I do not like practical jokes. Well known in my family, I don't like practical jokes. So you know what that means? I don't do practical jokes to other people. I don't like it. Well, it's just fun. I don't like it. I don't like doing things that we're going to afflict somebody, to hurt somebody, trip somebody, do this kind of thing. That's going to be funny. You know, we were at a youth camp. And at this youth camp, they decided they were going to, it was all about practical jokes. I foiled them all. I did. And I did. They put like buckets of water over. I'd take the bucket down. They'd do this. I probably should have just stayed out of it. That's what they do. Other people like that stuff.
Not everyone.
Some do. Some people like that stuff. Oh, we're going to do it. No, I just don't. I don't like embarrassing someone for fun. I just don't like that. I don't like name calling. My kids, they weren't allowed to call each other names. We're not allowed to call anybody else's name. I just don't like the name calling. It's just, let's do stuff to hurt people just for so we can get a good laugh. But you know, when I was lost, I did that all the time. That's who I was. Things changed. But here's the thing now. I don't want to be hurt. That's where I started. I don't want to be hurt. But here's the thing. Sometimes when we do get hurt, God gives us the opportunity. He said, I want to do something with your hurt. I want to use your hurt as a way to show my grace. Would you do that for me? Can you imagine God saying that to you? Amy, you've been hurt. Would you use that hurt to show my grace? You're like, that's a big one, Lord. Right? Brother John, somebody hurt you, comes up and God says, now John, here's what you're going to do. You're either going to be like the rest of the world, or you're going to show my grace by forgiving them that do not deserve it. Brother Ed, same thing. You know, you're going to get some opportunities to get hurt. And it's then that we get the opportunity to show God's grace by forgiving them. At that time, it's different. People have wronged us. Now, if we are merely cultural Christians, we'll not choose forgiveness. If we're just cultural Christians, yeah, I'm an American. Of course I'm a Christian. If we're like that, we'll not choose forgiveness. But if we're spiritual Christians, we'll purposefully build forgiveness below the baseline. Right? Remember that. That's where we're at here. Building below the baseline. If forgiveness is built below the baseline, at the foundation of our life, others will see the part of the iceberg that comes out, to see Jesus. Because forgiveness isn't cultural. Father, I pray that you'd help us with this lesson on forgiveness, Lord, that forgiveness wouldn't be just a saying I'm sorry, Lord, but rather by your grace, it would be a release from us holding against someone and using that hurt to hurt someone else. Lord, help us to demonstrate your grace. And Father, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.